But we're talking today about electricity, about energy. The governor said in her State of the State, I wish I had the clip, but as I recall, it was something about we can create, I forget how many thousands of jobs in Michigan if we just make this one adjustment to our laws, and we'll also have new renewable energy. And she basically wants to change the law back from... Right now, we can, well, let me ask you this, Diane. Right now, we can buy our electricity from anybody, right?
Right. I mean, well, not just anybody, but there are competitive suppliers in Michigan.
Yeah.
And they have been offering service alternatives to the, you know, what we call the incumbents, that is, the larger utilities.
Yeah. So if you get your municipal power right now or from DTE or from consumers, that's fine, but you can get it from other competitors, and many people do.
Correct.
The law would change, though. It effectively would shut them out and just keep DTE and consumers as our main electric providers?
Right. The proposal that's currently on the table in the legislature would only allow competition for up to 10% of the market, which is a ridiculously small slice of the market share. And that would make it, you know, really economically unviable for competitors to come into the state. I mean, why would you want to come in if you could only provide a piece of 10% of the market?
Right. Even if you were popular and growing, you'd have a limit then.
Right, exactly.
Now, the other part of this is that the governor said, we're going to require that, is it 10% of our energy use in Michigan come from alternative means by the year, is it 2012?
Well, there's a number of bills, and they all have different quotas and different years in which they would have to be filled. But the general idea is that utilities and other suppliers of electricity would be forced by the government to procure a certain quota of so-called renewable energy every year. And if they didn't, they would be fined.
So the thinking is the governor, thinks this is going to help global warming somehow and lower our carbon footprint, but also it's going to create jobs because now there's a mandate for alternative means of renewable energy, and so that's going to create new industries is the thinking.
Well, supposedly, although we've yet to see any real explanation for her numbers, which are, you know, tremendously, to my thinking, exaggerated. But what's not clear is whether they factored in the number of jobs that are going to be lost in Michigan because of the spike in energy prices. In other words, she's claiming that renewable energy industry, a new renewable energy industry, will create jobs. But the quota that she's advocating will raise energy costs in Michigan significantly. And we know that the cost of energy is one factor that can affect the, you know, the bottom line of,
sure,
businesses. And so, you know, it's very likely that higher energy costs could result in losses of jobs, or at least the loss of job growth.
So you have done a study on this whole proposal with Dr. Theodore Boluma?
Right.
Well, with the Mackinac Center. And what, I mean, what is the summary of your findings then on this proposed law that we kind of just discussed here?
Well, on the cap on competition, what we found was that when competition was allowed in Michigan, unrestricted, that the rates in Michigan dropped. For example, average industrial rates in the state dropped by about 3% at the same time that nationally they rose by 13%, and commercial rates dropped about 4%, even though in the country as a whole they increased about 10%. So in other words, everybody else was gaining higher rates and ours were going down. That's a good thing, obviously.
Yeah.
And then when the state government put new controls on competition, that is restricted competition, our rates went back up. For industrial customers, they jumped 23% at a time when elsewhere they were only going up 17%.
So if this all passes, if we go back to primarily DTE and Consumers Energy as our electricity providers, how would their rates be, how would we be protected against them from raising the rates unreasonably?
Well, presumably that the rates are going to be regulated again, but what we have seen in the past is that rate regulation in Michigan certainly doesn't guarantee low rates. In fact, Michigan has long been ahead in terms of having higher rates than both the national average and in terms of our Midwest neighbors. And it has been a competitive disadvantage in the state. We've seen, you know, industry, you know, cite energy costs as one reason for either not expanding here or not locating here to begin with. And then just aside from businesses, you know, people, families' pocketbooks are going to be affected by this. And, you know, that the governor wants, you know, us to pay for higher boutique fuels to create jobs, which in effect is a new tax. And this is not a time for Michigan to be raising taxes.
So if they take out the competition factor here, there's evidence based on your study that rates could or would go up. By requiring, as you say, boutique fuels or at least these different, these renewable forms of energy, she thinks will create jobs. But we did talk to a fellow businessman in Traverse City who's trying to build a wind farm, and he has leased like 10,000 acres, has two giant wind turbines going up, and could build up to 100 if things go all right. I don't know. He has to buy those from Germany, by the way, so I don't know how many jobs that's creating right there, but do you think that jobs will be created as a result of the mandate for renewable energy?
Well, the question is, on balance, will there be jobs created? And I haven't done that calculation. But we, in order to do that calculation, we would have to know there's two sides to the coin. One is perhaps there may be jobs created because, you know, there's hiring in the renewable energy sector. On the other hand, there's going to be jobs lost. And so that's the calculation that has to be done. And what we do know is that higher energy costs do cost the economy, you know, significant amount.
Yeah, and you can never really tell. You can study and try to get that, but you can never really tell what, you know, who's going to leave or what's going to happen.
Right. There's what's called an opportunity cost. We don't know what we're missing.
But generally you have the government mandating a market here, creating artificially a market for alternative energy.
Right. Now, I would also encourage listeners to recall how many times this and other governors have made promises about the state government producing or creating markets and new jobs. And the fact is, it never works, as they say. And there has been huge infusions of cash into, you know, government job creation programs. And the Mackinac Center has done a great job of tracking the results of those programs. And, you know, the sorry fact is that they don't work. You know, that all the job promises, you know, never are fulfilled, that, you know, it sucks up huge amounts of cash, whereas if they allowed, you know, if they lifted some of the regulations and other burdens on private business owners, those jobs might be created, you know, at much less cost.
Yeah. So this is all being debated in the legislature now.
Right.
These changes here. And it's from the governor's proposal in her State of the State address.
This has been, you know, these changes have been advocated by the two utilities who basically want to re-monopolize energy.
Yeah, and that would, as you said, it would block out everybody. It would leave 10% of the market open for competitors.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. We have to take a fast break. When we get back with Diane Katz from the Fraser Institute, if you have questions about this, you're welcome to call. And I wanted to ask, I don't know if you were, I read something on the Mackinac website, actually Paul Chesser wrote this. Are you familiar with the Michigan Climate Action Council?
Such as it is, yes.
All right, can I ask you a question or two about that?
Yeah, although I'm not the expert Paul is, but I'll do my best.
And Diane has done a study along with a gentleman from the Mackinac Center, Dr. Theodore Bolema, and it's looking at a new proposal here that would limit competition for electrical use in Traverse City. the electrical providers, basically would limit that to DTE and consumers. It would leave open 10% of the market for other competitors. Also, it would require that we use renewable energy. A certain amount of our energy would have to be renewable energy by 2012 or 2015, somewhere in there. There are different years, different proposals there. And
one thing I would just add about renewables is I'm all for entrepreneurs investing in research and development for alternative, you know, energies. I think that that's a very promising field, and I would love to see more energy alternatives for people, but I draw the line where taxpayers are being forced to finance that. That kind of, you know, energy development is really for private investment, for venture capital, mm-hmm. and not for taxpayer subsidies.
But in this would require, is the state going to help pay for any of this, or would it just require that the market, 10% of the electric market, be renewable?
Well, it forces utilities to buy that power,
okay.
and those costs are going to be passed on to consumers. So in other words, consumers are going to be forced to buy this, even though it's not, it's priced, you know, much higher than conventional energy.
Right. Okay. We have a couple of questions for Ms. Katz. Mary is calling in from Northport today. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Morning.
I had one question. What percentage at this point are of the business are competitors of those two companies?
That's a good question. It has fallen recently because of new rules on competition, new restrictions on competition. But at one point, as much as 20% of, the DTE energy market was being served by competitors. And I think that it was similar, although a little lower, for the consumer power area.
So at one point, 20% of the market in Michigan was from non-DTE or consumer providers, which in other words...
Well, actually, it was between 2000 and 2004.
Yeah.
The competitive suppliers served over 20% of the industrial and commercial customers in the combined Edison and consumer power service area.
Okay. All right. And now that's changed. But what happened in 2004?
In 2004, the Michigan Public Service Commission, at the behest of the legislature, required the competing service providers to charge their customers an additional rate that was sent back to the utilities for what was called stranded costs. That is, the utilities had argued that if they lost customers, they would lose money because they had been regulated by the state and therefore had to build capacity to serve those customers.
What was wrong with the days when we had monopolies that were regulated? In other words, if you had only DTE or only consumers supplying electricity to everybody in Michigan and they couldn't charge exorbitant rates or take on risky expansion projects, unless they went before the Public Service Commission.
Well, the idea that these utility monopolies were, spending in a prudent manner because they were regulated is not accurate. In other words, just because you're regulated doesn't mean that you're prudent. And what we saw, and what many of your listeners probably remember, are projects that had cost overruns of tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars even, and that prices in Michigan were higher than both the national average and higher than surrounding states. Every time the utilities spent a dollar, they could collect more from ratepayers. In other words, their rates were regulated based
okay.
on how much they spent.
So in an ideal world, you'd like to just see the market opened up as it was in 2000?
Correct.
All right. And as far
even
as,
more than it was. I mean, it was limited in 2000, but at least it started to be open.
And then as far as renewable energy, instead of requiring and saying we want to jumpstart this by requiring 10% of all of our energy in Michigan be renewable energy by a certain date. Instead, just let the market dictate that. Let venture capitalists take the risk. If they think there's a demand, go ahead and take the risk to invest in wind power, whatever it might be.
Right, and I'm interested in seeing more renewable energy, certainly. The problem is if you require the purchase of it, it's not going to become as competitive because it's found a safe harbor, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, right now, you know, they've got to compete with lower cost energy. And so they have an incentive to continue to try to bring down the price of renewables. Whereas if you force people to buy it, that incentive to bring down the cost goes away.
And if you have a changing administration and they decide they don't like that and change it, then you have a lot of companies that are going to go kaput.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And that's what happened with telephone service.
Yeah. All right, let's see. People can read this study that Diane Katz was a part of at the Mackinac website, Mackinac, which is with a C, Mackinac.org. Look for the proposal, it's right on the front page, proposal to further regulate Michigan's electricity market, an assessment. Also, one thing I want to point out, I think it's on the Mackinac Center page, too. There's something called the Michigan Climate Action Council out there I wasn't aware of. It was created by the governor by executive order, not through the legislature. Their charge is to create a state policy on global warming. And what can you tell us about this? How is that being done? Who's on the council and what's it all about?
Yeah, the council is handpicked by the governor. And it's being run by a Pennsylvania group called the Center for Climate Strategies. And this Center for Climate Strategies has been very clever by going to governors around the country and convincing them to set up state councils that would recommend policies that this Pennsylvania group favors. And they favor what I would consider to be policies that are in line with the alarmists mm-hmm. about global warming. And they are funded by outside groups such as the Rockefeller Brothers Fund and others who want to see very restrictive and costly regulations put in place to supposedly control climate change.
Yep. So they're not really an objective group, but they kind of pass themselves off as that, it sounds like.
Right, and they're not allowed to discuss the science of climate change at all. All they can do is discuss and come up with essentially regulatory proposals that this Pennsylvania group puts before them.
Great. So the governor has called, basically created this council to come up with a global warming policy for Michigan. The legislature didn't weigh in on it all. They've now are weighing, they're basically under the guidance of this Pennsylvania organization that's financed by global warming alarmists.
Exactly.
And they're not allowed to talk about the science of it all. They've come up with some policies.
Exactly.
Okay, and that's nice.
The center, it runs the meetings. This Pennsylvania group runs the meetings. It keeps the minutes. It determines the voting procedures. It selects, which recommendations can be discussed. And it prepares all the presentations and writes all the reports.
Well, I guess that's fine as long as they don't try to pull it off and say this is one of these nonpartisan, common ground, people's choice kind of things.
Well, I think that's how it's being sold, though.
Exactly. That's what I don't like.
Right. So people ought to be aware of what's really behind it.
Yep. More on that, by the way, on the Mackinac Center page. Diane Katz, formerly with the Mackinac Center, does some work with them, but now with the Fraser Institute, F-R-A-S-E-R, Fraser Institute. Their webpage is FraserInstitute.org, and you can click on for educational materials, studies, all kinds of things regarding science, climate, whatnot, electricity, energy, and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Thanks so much for your time again today. Appreciate it.